Welcome to another edition of El Paso Primetime. I'm Dennis Wu, and with me in studio this afternoon, Beto Lopez, the Assistant Vice President of Institutional Advancement at the Office of University Relations. Christian Corrales is in-house as well. He's Community Relations Manager for Student Affairs. Gentlemen, welcome to El Paso Primetime.
Thank you, Dennis, for having us. It's exciting to be here with you.
Well, there's an exciting thing that's happening next Saturday, and we need to tell El Paso what's going on, so either one of you two, go ahead and unveil the new news.
Well, we're pleased to announce and we're excited to invite the community to the Centennial Plaza grand opening here that's going to take place at the center of campus, right at the heart of in the center of campus next Saturday. And we anticipate large crowds because there's been a long-awaited unveiling. So we're very excited to share that with the community. We're excited to share that with our internal faculty and staff and students, and there's a lot of momentum going into this event.
Indeed. I mean, people who live and work and go to school here on this campus have watched the transformation over the last couple of years, and the anticipation has been building. There's a lot of people who really want to see those fences come down and be able to partake.
That's right. I think all of us who walk around campus, and we're getting much more used to walking, which is all good for us. We anticipate the fences coming down, and you know, we see how the craftsmen are out there. They're really manicuring the rocks. You know, I kept thinking this morning that it is so difficult to recreate Mother Nature. Yet that's been the attempt with the plaza, the arroyos that run through the plaza from the north to the south. They're very natural, and they look natural. They are natural. And there was a little bit of trickle in one of them the other day, and you can just imagine 100 years ago how that arroyo was there. And you know, the workmen that have been out here and the directors of this project have really put a lot of detail and effort into this, and it's taken a little longer than we had hoped for, but like Christian said, it's an exciting time for Saturday's grand opening of this Centennial Plaza.
Listeners will want to know what time the gates will open in order for them to come on in.
Well, we do have a plan to have you arrive, if possible, at 9:30. 9:30 is our check-in time, our registration time, just so we know who's here and to provide general information. We'd like to have a very brief program, probably 20 to 30 minutes at most, which will feature the president and a very special guest. The Bhutanese ambassador to the UN will make a return visit to UTEP to help us celebrate the grand opening of the plaza and the lock-on as well.
The last time she was here was 3 years ago?
Well, actually, she was here for the Opera Bhutan,
okay,
which we held last summer. She was very gracious with her time. And, you know, the people of Bhutan and the government of Bhutan, all our Bhutanese students and those who have been fortunate enough to go to Bhutan all say the same thing, that this is just a remarkable relationship between one part of the world and another through the culture, through the music, through the artifacts, the architecture. And what a great way to begin the 101st year of UTEP.
The second centennial starts, and quite frankly, I would like to be able to say that next Saturday is when we start this the second centennial with a bang.
Absolutely. I think one word describes it. It's majestic. And I think we're going to start off on the right track, on the right stance of welcoming people that made this happen and possible. Mm-hmm. You know, there's been a lot of efforts, a lot of from here at the university and from our external support. And so, again, we can rave enough about how amazing and how this will impact not only our current students, faculty and staff, but also anyone that has come and visited the campus recently and in the past. So we anticipate a high volume of alumni coming to our campus as well to share this experience.
There's a lot of buzz on Facebook about this whole thing, a lot of buzz on Twitter. Everybody has been just Facebooking photos back and forth, back and forth. And Christian, before the show, we were talking a little bit about the history department's got a project going.
Yeah, so we've done an invitation, and we've done a call out to, again, the colleges here at the university to partake in this grand opening. And the history department has compiled a collage of the, you know, the makeup of this institution from its origins back in 1914 till now. So they'll have a nice display for those history buffs that would like to see that whole transition and transformation available for them to witness this grand change.
Betha, you've been privy to all kinds of conversations coming into the construction of the Centennial Project, and it involved more than just one construction company. We're talking practically a multitude of architects, designers, interior, exterior, gardeners. I mean, you name it, they all came together. How did you do it?
Well, the university is what did it, and all the community support and the great leadership of the vice president for business affairs and all the folks who work in our facility services and the contractors and the UT system. And, you know, everybody's had a hand in this. And so I think that's why people are so excited, because they feel that this plaza represents a little piece of them. One of those blades of grass that's out there in the center has their name on it. And they also have the dreams and aspirations of all our students and the faculty and staff who support our students to forge forward a better life, dreams fulfilled, the creation of new projects and new adventures. All of that is represented in this plaza, and that's the beauty of it. Not only is it a gorgeous sight across campus, but the future that it holds for all of us, children and older folks alike. You know, it's just a big, big part of El Paso and a big part of this university. And we're just so happy to share it. Christian and I have worked together. There hasn't been a person who hasn't smiled whenever we mention the Centennial Plaza. So we're excited. We want prospective students. It's a great time if you're a sophomore or a freshman in high school or a junior college transfer or a graduating senior. Come and see the campus and come and meet UTEP people. Come and catch the spirit of this university. You know, we're a top university in the country. Everybody says that. And the more that we say that to each other, the more that we can achieve. So this is a great opportunity, as Christian said, for alums, friends, the neighborhood to come and see us and to be a part of us and celebrate with us this coming Saturday.
Absolutely. I have to tell you, and not just because you're here, but I tell this to people whenever they ask me, what's it like working for UTEP? Well, I have to tell you, I love it. Every day I come to work, I'm blessed with several things. The students, the faculty, the staff, the people who make this place run are just absolutely drop-dead gorgeous and beautiful people inside and out. The second part is that the campus is so unique. You'll never see anything like this anywhere in the country. And the third and most important thing about it is I'm very proud to work for a top 10 university. That's something that most people can't talk about unless they belong to a top 10 university. And that's where we're at right now. And I love it.
I couldn't agree more. I think as a former undergraduate alum from UTEP and in my fair shares of visiting and working at other institutions, there's a unique essence of camaraderie, of togetherness in this institution. And it's unlike any other place. This is a family. Mm-hmm. And that makes it very comforting knowing that you have that support, knowing that you have and that you impact people's lives from our students and fellow colleagues and from those outside the walls of UTEP, right? And so I think that's always, you know, the responsibility that we have as staff members here at UTEP, because we know of the great benefit that it's going to carry on in legacy into the future of all the students that come in the years ahead.
Over the last 10 years, I guess it's been a lot easier to recruit now, hasn't it?
Well, it's very, very competitive out there. And, you know, I must compliment all the teachers and the administrators in the public schools and the community college. Many, three-fourths of them are UTEP graduates. So we expect that. We expect for our high school graduates and community college graduates to be extremely competitive, and they are. And everybody in the country comes here to look at UTEP graduates when they graduate from here and to look at El Paso area high school graduates because we produce some great, great people here. So it's very, very competitive. We are very much in the competitive market. And Kristen will tell you he's got the statistics a little better than I've got. But we do extremely well. And our students, when they leave here, they're very well prepared. The top firms all over the country come and recruit our students. Our faculty and our staff have done a great job of preparing them. They're world-class graduates, and they're extremely competitive and do extremely well.
So let's go ahead and go back to the, talking about next Saturday's big opening. This is it. This is where people get to see the Centennial Plaza as it continues to be worked on, but there's a large part of it that's going to be open. What can people expect?
Well, I think they can expect a lot of enthusiasm, and what we'd like them to do is to arrive, if they can, about 9:30 or so to come in. We do want to reference the parking garage on Sun Bowl Drive, which will be open to the public. This is a free event. We'll have music. We'll have a chance to interact with all of the departments that face the plaza and the colleges and other departments that are not immediately surrounding the plaza will be participating as well. So we'll have an opportunity as a guest for the day to go inside the lock-on and to talk to our administrators, our faculty, our students who are here to help share the UTEP story and to provide information, whether it's an alum or a prospective student or a family or a neighbor. We want to share the success of UTEP. Our music department, our commercial music ensemble, will be performing. We'll have refreshments for people. We don't want anyone to be afraid of coming to campus because they can't park. We've got plenty of parking space around the campus, whether it be on the south lots and the south Schuster parking garage or the Sun Bowl parking garage. Those will be open. If someone needs additional help with parking, perhaps has an ADA placard that they can show us present to us or needs additional help in walking, we do have some limited space on campus a little closer to the plaza. So we don't want to keep anyone who may have that need for extra help from attending. We want to see you here as well.
The radio station will be part of it. We'll have the facility open for anyone who wants to visit not only the communication department, but also the radio station itself. So, Beto and Kristen, how long will this event be on for next week?
So we anticipate, as Beto mentioned earlier, to have a short program, being that it'll be in the morning. So we're thinking, you know, the opening remarks from Dr. Diana Natalicia will be at 10 o'clock in the morning, and we will close the ceremonies around 12:30.
Okay. But in the meantime, we open the doors, as we always do, Mi Casa, Su Casa, and that goes for the university for next Saturday. Come on down. This is going to be a wonderful event, and you get to be part of the family.
You know, Dennis, Saturdays are really busy days for families, and if the soccer game gets in the way at 9 o'clock and the family can't get here till 11, that's fine. 11:30 is fine. We're not going to have a fixed program. The goal is to have you experience, touch, and see the plaza and to be a part of this UTEP spirit.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. The temple looks so beautiful at sunrise, but the sunset – yesterday, walking home and just turning around and watching that thing, it's illuminated. It's beautiful.
You know, the lock-on is a terrific cultural entity and asset for this campus. And the people of Bhutan are the ones that gifted that to the United States, to the people of the United States, with the proviso that it be built on this campus. So for the people in Bhutan, this is a very, very special place as well, just as Bhutan is for us.
Absolutely. And we get to celebrate it next Saturday right around 9:30. Try to get here before 9:30 so that you don't miss the program. And then you can partake in everything that's out here. Beto Lopez is our Assistant Vice President of Institutional Advancement at the Office of University Relations. Christian Corrales is a Community Relations Manager for Student Affairs. Gentlemen, thank you so much for coming. I want you to never forget that whenever you need something, come on down to the radio station. We'd love to have you.
You do a terrific job, and we thank you very, very much. And congratulations to KTEC.
Thank you so much, and El Paso Primetime will be back in just a moment.
As a Vietnamese-American kid growing up in the 80s, Viet Nguyen had mixed feelings watching Rambo refight the war.
He's an action hero, and he's Sylvester Stallone. He's beautiful on screen, and there's pleasure to be had in shooting big guns and showing off big muscles.
His first novel is a brilliant, hilarious response to the Vietnam of America's imagination. That's on the next All Things Considered from NPR News.
Weekends on All Things Considered, Saturday afternoon at 3 on 88.5 KTEP.
And joining us on the phone from London is Dominic Bertolucci. First off, Dominic, welcome to El Paso Primetime.
Thank you so much for having me on the show, Dennis.
Dominic, you are such a vibrant person, and the videos that you've posted up on YouTube and your website is just absolutely drop-dead gorgeous. The books that you've written, including your new one called The Kindness Pact, everything revolves around being true to yourself and therefore being able to be true to others. Isn't that about the size of it?
You know, I think that captures it just about perfectly. The way I explain it is always to say it's about understanding what matters most to you, what your values are, and then getting as much of that into your life as possible.
Let's talk a little bit about how you got involved in making people feel good about themselves.
Well, it actually came from the corporate world. And in the corporate world, my role was as an independent consultant. And a lot of the time I was responsible for encouraging people to create changes in their working life, but that people often went kicking and screaming into those changes. And a little over 10 years, about 12 years ago, I worked with a coach. And I thought it was a really transformative experience for me. But more importantly, I could see that she had the good bit of my job, talking about goals, understanding what might get in the way, looking at what you needed to achieve to meet your objectives, all the good parts of my job without the rotten part, which was, dragging people kicking and screaming into the future. So this must be 14 years ago now, I retrained as a coach and then set up my own coaching practice and then moved from just coaching one-on-one to now writing books, running workshops, doing keynote speaking, and running a whole range of online programs as well.
Dominic, let me ask you a basic question that crops up virtually every day, I guess, in somebody's life. And the simple question is, someone will always approach you and say, how can I be happy?
And, I think that's just such a powerful question. And we should always be asking ourselves that question. What can I do to be happy? And I think the first and most important thing is to listen to that question, because the question is about being happy. And I always say happiness is a state of being, not one of doing or of having. So as soon as you start thinking, if I do this or I do that, I'll be happy, or if I get this or if I've got that, I'll be happy, you pretty much know you're heading down the wrong road. Now, that doesn't mean the things you do or the things that you have won't give you enjoyment or pleasure or satisfaction, but they won't provide long-term, lasting, and sustainable happiness.
It makes sense to me on several different dimensions. Your website and your program called Change Your Life in 90 Days really is a step-by-step self-help program that allows people to be able to do it on their own, at their own speed, isn't it?
Absolutely. And the whole idea is, and one of the things we say in coaching is that everybody has their own right answer. What you need is somebody to help you ask the question. So when I think about my work, my professional work, regardless of the format that's in, if it's an online program or a one-on-one with a client or in a workshop, my job is to ask the question. I don't know what the perfect answer is for you or for the next person, but I'm pretty good at nailing the question you need so that you can come up with your own best answers.
When you wrote your first book, what What was the impetus to be able to not only write the book, but also be able to look ahead into the future and then say, well, you know, I need to write this book as a companion to this one, your best life?
You know, I always knew, you know, in that kind of knowing, instinctive way that I would write one day, but I didn't have any idea of what I'd be writing about. And every time I attempted to write fiction, I realized that clearly wasn't my calling. And so once I moved into the coaching space, it became very obvious to me very quickly that what I wanted to do was share these ideas, these empowering ideas for personal improvement, transformation, changing the way you feel about who you are and the life you live. I knew that I would want to share that with as many people as possible. And so writing is one of the easiest, well, writing is not as easy, but it's one of the easiest ways to share that information as widely as possible. So I knew as soon as I moved into this field that one of the automatic steps for me would be to write. And once I did, I couldn't stop. I just love it.
Do you think that everybody should have a life coach?
I think that everybody would benefit from working with a life coach at some point in their life. And then from that, they can then learn the skills to also get better at coaching themselves. So I don't necessarily advocate that people need a life coach to work with all of the time for the rest of their life. A lot of my clients come and see me when they're working on particular changes or transformations, and then they move into a self-coaching mode while they're maintaining or sustaining those changes. And when it's time to take another big leap, perhaps we come together again. But I think the important thing is that everybody could benefit from learning those skills. In fact, we've just launched a program on my website called Be Your Own Happiness Coach, where we're teaching the skills of happiness coaching for people to then apply them back to themselves.
Dominique Bertolucci is our guest this afternoon on El Paso Primetime, a life coach, and you spent a lot of time in the corporate world. Now, in the corporate world, as it is now, too, a lot of your clients, high-powered, high-priced clients, are those who have everything from the outside. All of us would love to have that. And yet there's a touch of sadness inside their lives because they're trying to strive for the happiness that they already have. They just don't know they have it.
You know, you're absolutely right, Dennis. And I think the thing here is that everybody needs to do the same thing to find happiness, which is to look within and ask yourself what matters most to me, how do I get as much of that as I can in my life, to follow a set of principles, and I wrote about those in an earlier book of mine called The Happiness Code, which was 10 keys to being a happier person. And I think what often happens for these sort of very overtly, externally successful people is that it's even sort of more confronting when all of these great achievements and acquisitions don't provide happiness.
There's a Chinese code, I think, that deals with qi. And there's also another thing that has to do with the amount of clutter that we have a tendency to amass over a period of time. Is that a correlative thing with happiness?
Well, actually, I wrote about clearing clutter amongst many other things in another book of mine called Less is More, 101 Ways to Simplify Your Life. And I think a lot can be gained from decluttering your life of all sorts of things, not just sort of stuff or cleaning out your wardrobe, but not spending time with people that you don't find to be satisfying or fulfilling company. You know, not hanging on to things that don't, clothes that don't fit you because, you know, they hark back to, you know, a life that was a number of pounds ago. It's about not filling your life with things because all they're really doing is providing you with a distraction.
I have a friend last night who pondered this question about kindness, and he wrote written a book called The Kindness Pact. And I'm curious about the correlation. Her main thing was that someone had told her that if she felt necessary to be kind to everybody, would she be then become a doormat? And I thought that was kind of a curious question.
I think that's a really curious question. The way that I put it to people, and the whole premise behind the Kindness Pact, is it's about treating yourself with the same kindness, love, and respect that you show the other important people in your life. So it's not about treating everybody else with less kindness. It's about treating yourself with more kindness. So whether that is that, you know, whether your role is to be a great boss, a good friend, a loving parent, a good sibling, good son or good daughter or good grandparent, whatever it is you're trying to do, it's not about trying to do less of that, but it's about giving that back to yourself as well. So I don't think being kind, genuinely kind as well, you know, there's a big difference between just saying, you know, if somebody says jump and you just keep saying how high, as opposed to kindness, which, you know, I always talk about this thing about love and respect. And I think respect is equally important to the love there. So I think if you're treating yourself with the same kindness, love and respect that you treat other people, everybody is feeling better as a part of that equation.
Dominique, how do people buy your books? You've written 6 wonderful manuals for life, if you will. How do they get a hold of them?
So the books are available in all of your main bookstores, online from Amazon or Barnes & Noble, and pretty much anywhere now, I think, where you can get books. A couple of them are only available in Australia and the UK, some of the older ones, so you might need to order those online. But the Kindness Pact is certainly available, as they say, where all good books are sold.
Very nice. And also, people who visit your website can sign up for your weekly email.
Absolutely, and get free video training, principles, ideas, inspiration, and advice on how to get the life you want and love the life you've got.
You've also got a TV channel up on YouTube called DBTV. Let's talk a little bit about what to expect once we get to DBTV.
Well, DBTV is one of my pet projects. It's very informal, very relaxed, and what I'm trying to do is just give you one little snippet of a really small, simple change you could make in your life that would make your life feel a whole lot better. I always say that these changes will only take a moment or two to apply, but they could have a fundamental shift on the way you feel about who you are and the life you're living.
One last question. How do you think the Sydney Swans will do in the AFL this year?
Oh, goodness me. Well, the most recent Australian city I lived in was Sydney, so I think regardless of how I think they should perform, I think I'll be cheering for them anyway.
Very nice. Dominique Bertolucci has been our guest. Dominique, thank you so much for being a guest on El Paso Primetime, talking about your books, and most importantly, I think for our listeners, how to be happy. That's an achievement. If one person today can say, I'm going to be happy, they said so on the radio, I think I'd be happy.
Well, that certainly sounds like a great intention to me. And thank you so much for having me, Dennis. It's been such a pleasure.
Mi casa, su casa, here in El Paso, Texas. So anytime that you have a new book or a new video or anything, we certainly would love to sit down and talk one more time and several times other, too.
That sounds great.
Recapping today's episode, the UTEP Centennial Plaza grand opening is set for 9:30 next Saturday, right here on campus at UTEP. You're invited. World-renowned expert on health and happiness, Dominique Bertolucci's new book is out. DominiqueBertolucci.com is her website. Deidre Westernhauser recorded the show. Thanks for listening to El Paso Primetime.